Oops. I'd like to bring to order the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Efficiency. We're going to start out, we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 405A. Bob, remind us of Senate Bill 405A, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 405A is the measure that eliminates the exception from 5% maximum retainage amount for construction contracts.
No amendments?
No amendments, no revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact, Mr. Chair.
So the bill is ready to move.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 405A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves Senate Bill 405A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Seeing
none.
Discussion.
Just want to say thank you for the work session. I think it's a great bill, and good bill should pass. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We were trying to expedite this because one of our members needs to leave.
I know. I'm sorry. That'd be me.
With that, Samantha, can we have a vote, please?
Representative Doherty.
Like
aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye. Excused.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively.
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson.
Excused.
Chair Holby.
Aye. Senate Bill 405A, having received the required votes, is passed to the floor. And is there anybody who wants to carry this bill? Representative Johnson?
Thank you.
We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 405A. See if that gets some people to leave the room. But we're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 574A. Bob, can you give us a brief description on Senate Bill 574A, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 574A expands the Oregon Consumer Identity Theft Protection Act to allow parents or guardians to freeze the credit reports of minors and protected persons. In the event that a protected person does not have a credit report, the measure requires credit reporting agencies to make a protective record for the individual and place a freeze on that record. The measure has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact, and there are no amendments before the committee, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Marquis, do you want to speak to this, or are you just watching to see what we do with it?
Only if you have questions, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Representative Lively, motion?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 574A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves Senate Bill 574A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Questions on the bill? Not seeing any. Samantha.
Representative Doherty.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Excused.
Representative Thatcher.
Aye.
Representative Vega Peterson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively.
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson.
Excused.
Chair Holby.
Aye. Senate Bill 574A, having received required votes, is passed to the floor. And Carrier? Nobody's jumping up. Representative Lively, thank you.
Margaret Shields me.
So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 574A. And we're going to stand at ease for just a second. Bill 525A. Bob, give us a brief description of Senate Bill 525A and the amendment that we're looking at, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 525A authorizes and establishes restrictions on the use of private entities to operate bad check diversion programs. Apologize, Mr. Chair, that's slightly out of date. This is the measure dealing with debt collectors working as part of bad check diversion programs for Oregon District Attorneys. The measure has a minimal revenue and minimal fiscal impact, but we have received -A5 amendments, which replace the substantive portions of the measure. Those amendments prohibit public agency or public official from allowing a person or entity to use the seal or letterhead of the agency or official in the practice of collecting debt and from receiving a fee in exchange for such use. The amendments prohibit a district attorney from authorizing a debt collector to use the seal, letterhead, or name of district attorney or district attorney's office pursuant to a bad check diversion program. And the measure creates an unlawful collection practice of using the name, seal, or letterhead of a public official or public agency.
Thank you. And Representative White, could I have a motion on the amendment?
Sure. Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the -A5 amendments to Senate Bill 525, dated 5/21/2013.
Representative Lively moves we adopt the -A5 amendment to Senate Bill 525, dated 5/21/2013. Discussion on the motion. Committee, I'll just, for the record, add that this is just clarifying some of the language of the original bill. So. And have had discussions with the sponsor of the bill about it, and they seem to be good with this amendment. So is there any objection to adopting the amendment? Seeing none, the A5 amendment's adopted Senate Bill 525, and we will not be working this bill today. So I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 525. And open a public hearing on SCR-4. Bob, give us a brief description of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Concurrent Resolution 4 directs state agencies to prioritize time and other resources to support priorities established in each region by the Oregon Solutions Network. Direct state agencies to participate in regional project teams or programs when invited by the governor's regional coordinators, and directs the regional coordinators to invite state agencies to participate once a project or program is implemented.
Thank you. We'll stand at ease for just a moment.
things people don't appreciate. This is right.
Representative Lively, would you like to make a motion to suspend the rules
to
allow...
Can I do both of them or one at a time?
Let's do them one at a time.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move we suspend the rules to allow Representative Smith to vote on Senate Bill 405A.
Representative Lively moves we suspend the rules to allow Representative Smith to vote on Senate Bill 405A. Is there any objection? The rules are suspended. And Representative Smith, how do you vote on Senate Bill 405A?
I vote aye.
Okay.
And I thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Representative Smith votes aye on Senate Bill 405A. And Representative Lively?
Mr. Chair, I move we suspend the rules to allow Representative Smith to vote on Senate Bill 574A.
Representative Lively moves we suspend the rules to allow Representative Smith to vote on Senate Bill 574A. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the rules are suspended. Representative Smith, how do you vote on Senate Bill 574A?
Again, thank you very much for letting me vote, and I vote aye.
Representative Smith votes aye on Senate Bill 574A. Thank you. And with that, I'll open a public hearing on Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4. good afternoon, Senator. Welcome to our committee.
Welcome.
Or should I say welcome back?
Thank you.
We just opened the public hearing on Senate Concurrent Resolution 4.
Cool.
And if our committee administrator already gave us a little primer on it, so if you'd like to explain to us what this bill's about and what we hope to accomplish with it.
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Members of the committee, Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I have the privilege of representing Senate District 16. I appear today with a variety of hats on, mostly as a cheerleader for the process that is the regional solutions. This grew out of a program that started under Dr. Kitzhaber in his first term that was the Oregon Solutions, and has now morphed into and is becoming institutionalized as the regional solutions. And I can't help but look at Representative Kenny Geyer and think of one of the jewels in the crown of regional solutions, and that was rebuilding three schools in Vernonia and raising almost $40 million to do it. One of the things that helped us enormously was an executive order issued by Governor Kulongowski asking state agencies to cooperate. And let me digress slightly. In order to become an Oregon solution / regional solution project, it has to be an issue that seems insurmountable, rises to a level where it is gubernatorially tapped as a problem worth going through this collaborative problem solving. So this isn't just a bunch of problems running around like a box of mice tipped over. This is a pretty formalized process that elevates a problem to this level of problem solving. A neutral convener, in this case Portland State, generally comes in and sets the table in a community to ascertain whether or not the community is ripe for a process that puts, in some cases, and I've experienced this personally, arch enemies at the table side by side, people that violently disagree with each other. So a neutral convener, generally an academic institution, comes in, tests the water to see if the community is ready to roll up their sleeves and work together, and then the process begins. And each one of these regional solutions is a slightly different twist on how the problem solving occurs. It is only recently that they've had to carry their own weight in terms of raising money. I'm involved in two of the longest ones in Oregon's history, one in Tillamook to abate nuisance flooding, and I'm pleased to report that we're well on our way to getting the money in place, the mosaic of money that we need to do that, and then, of course, Vernonia. I have been a convener. I have been a project team member. I have worked on successful regional solutions and some not so much, but this is really a remarkable way to solve problems, and when it works at its its absolute best. It yields templates that can be applied to other seemingly intractable problems in other locations. And I would cite as an example, when we were working on the flooding in Tillamook, we were able to craft, we actually refreshed a document that was 20 years old that allowed for the scalping of some gravel off gravel bars in a number of rivers in the Tillamook Basin. And that agreement was subsequently imported down into the Chetco and was used by others there. So what this bill does is to ask state agencies to participate as project team members when they are asked to try to address problems that have been identified through a pretty elaborate series of investigations that results in a work plan. I would tell you, I'm the convener at the request of Governor Kulongowski in the Northwest region. We have a very aggressive work plan that came up through the three counties that are part of our team. There was no attempt to usurp the power or the authority of the county commissioners to bring forward their priorities. There then is an advisory group that is composed of academia, philanthropy, business, and government. They approve the work plan, and then the team works to prioritize what will come up first in the work plan. But again, the value is that frequently at these tables are state agencies, either in their ability to help bring money to solve a problem or in their regulatory capacity. In Tillamook, we had the Corps of Engineers sitting right side by side with DSL, sitting right side by side with ODF&W, on the theory that when we started maneuvering big bodies of water, you needed all of these regulatory and natural resource agencies sitting together. And it was the same thing in Vernonia, where then citizen Kenny Geyer and a member of the PSU Oregon Solutions team brought her formidable talents to bear on getting us the right team to work on that problem. And it results in a declaration of cooperation signed by all of the parties at the table saying that they will stick with the solution that has been identified. They will use their best efforts to help with funding and to work through the problems that inevitably manifest themselves as one of these large intractable problems begins to be worked. And so this bill would quite simply ask state agencies to be full participants when tapped to come and sit at a project team level on a regional solutions project. The state agencies are largely all signed up with this, so it will not be something that I think will overwhelm them. We have built in mechanisms whereby in our region, for example, there's a very capable ODOT person who's tapped regularly, and he finally came to me and said, look, I don't have enough time to get my regular work done. I'm so busy troubleshooting on regional solutions. Can you guys cut me a little slack? And we worked that out quite handily, so we still had his talents at the regional solutions table, but he was able to also discharge his regular work portfolio. So this facilitates cooperation among levels of government, state and federal and local. It helps institutionalize what I think is a model for problem solving and solution delivery, and I hope that the committee gives it your thoughtful consideration and moves the measure forward. With that, I'd be happy to take any mushball questions, and Representative Kenny Geyer.
I'll give a mushball question.
At ground zero in Vernonia can handle the toughies.
Does anybody have real questions?
Go ahead, Representative Kenny Geyer.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator. It's really great to see you back in the building.
Thank you.
It was a huge honor to work on that project with you, and one of the things that the way Oregon Solutions operates, and I haven't followed regional solutions as closely, so I wonder how similar this might be, is that the request had to come from the local community first. They had to initiate it. I know there's a lot of fear in anything like this about top down and does the community have a say. And certainly this was Oregon Solutions is not known as necessarily a grassroots effort, but it really is local entities who are trying to problem solve who come to the state and say we need some help. And we could not have gotten that work done without the executive order, and I see this as instead of trying to do an executive order on every single thing, Regional Solutions is saying, what are the problems that really rise to the level where we need this collaborative governance model? And so I see this as streamlining something that we have been trying to do. But I'm curious about the directional flow and whether you can speak to that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it is exactly the same. It just takes in a bigger region. Mm-hmm. Some of the Oregon Solutions problems have had bigger geography, but as the governor, this governor, and Greg Wolf, who is discharging this program under the governor's instruction, they have divided the state into 11 regions, and so there are 11 of these regional solutions. They have staff assigned to them that are the coordinators, but just as in Oregon Solutions, a problem does not just arise. It has to come organically. Generally, a county commissioner or some person of elected capacity would join with others to write a letter to the governor and ask that a project be considered. I'll give you another example. In our district, we've had a big feud between drainage districts that have certain legal responsibilities and DSL that wants to have jurisdiction over every body of water that it sees. And this collision in the vocabulary that they speak has made it impossible for drainage districts to discharge their legal responsibilities to their members. And a drainage district and a county commissioner and I have asked for assistance to make this a regional solution project so that we can see if we can develop a series of vocabulary that will inform these discussions between DSL and drainage districts in other places. But it absolutely comes from the bottom up mm-hmm. and has several points of approval along the way before the governor finally looks at it with the consultation with his professional staff and says, yes, this rises to the level of community readiness, an intractable problem, an ask from the locals, and a table set by Portland State to see if we can figure out the solution.
And potential for replicability.
And the potential for both scalability, replicability, right. and export.
Right.
Representative Lively, question?
Sure, Senator, thank you. And that helped answer part of it, so, but I'm just still trying to understand. So the final decision is that of the governor
yes, sir.
After him coming through all these things. And so if there are competing projects in for the same region, that issue of the competing is resolved long before it gets to the governor through going through the process up through. Is that the idea? Or
Mr. Chair, Representative Lively, yes. And whether or not they can work it out at the local level or the very skillful staff comes in and says, do you guys realize that in parallel universes you're working on the same problem? Can we meld this effort together and can we package it in a way that satisfies the two disparate concerns and moves it into this rather informal, formal process?
Sure. Thank you.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to do my best Senator Johnson routine because I've served with her a long time. I don't know if I can do it. I was going to raise my hands up and say, good Senator, tell me why we need this type of resolution to address the plethora of issues, that's a word you would use, because some pinhead bureaucrats.
That's also a word she'd use.
She would use that. I'm trying to do my best. Won't show up to meetings and work together.
Thank you.
That's my best imitation.
Chair,
and we know I love you and I do it with respect.
Senator Johnson. it seems counterintuitive that you would need a piece of legislation to tell state agencies to cooperate. But I think as this governor and this administration is trying to cause there to be institutional change, as it comes down from the agency heads and drops down further into the bureaucracy, folks are a little less susceptible to the natural call to leadership to make institutional change. And in some cases, we have had to ask for some pretty significant help. Just looking at the staff measure summary, I have to admit, gazing at it wheeling down here, I thought, how am I going to explain to these guys that we need a bill to do what state agencies ought to be doing? And I think at the end of the day, what this is part and parcel of a suite of bills that will help institutionalize a new way of thinking about problems. That it is a good thing for natural resource agencies to actually talk to each other. That we need a table where the Corps and DSL can work out their differences. And that if we model the good behavior of cooperation as directed by the legislature, pretty soon it becomes second nature. But right now, as it is beginning to inculcate itself into agencies, there frankly has been some resistance or some folks that say, that's not my job. Why do I want to go problem solve in Tillamook? What's the value of that? And ultimately, the value is huge. If we have an exportable work product, it's huge. But I think what this is a little bit of a boost to agency directors who, by and large, get it, to say to their field folks or their folks down several levels, it's not just me, the head of fill-in-the-blank, telling you to do this. The legislature has expressed a policy preference for you all to work together. And that's what it is.
I appreciate you. It's great seeing you. Miss you on Ways and Means.
I'm headed back.
All right. So,
other questions? Senator, I have one that maybe you can help educate me a little bit, because when I first saw this bill, I was sort of surprised it didn't have a subsequent to Ways and Means. Even though the fiscal says it's indeterminate, it is directing agencies to do things, and it, the fiscal statement says that, for example, DEQ has six FTE participating in this already, and other agencies are. So I guess my question is, are these things that are already in their budgets, I must assume?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes. At this point, agencies are just absorbing it. And there has been enough natural shock absorber that, as in my ODOT example, where the region manager just says, I can't take on one more Oregon Solutions project, there's been adequate flexibility for everybody to say, gee, let's cut Larry a break. There's a reason we all call him, and he's everybody's go-to guy. But he has his own portfolio of responsibilities. And right now, agencies are absorbing this work. But I think you touch on something that is a caution to the governor and to Mr. Wolf and to those of us that are evangelicals for this process, and that is setting realistic expectations, trying to make sure that as we work on some of these larger projects that we don't do it at the expense of the day-to-day work that Oregonians come to expect. And my example in Astoria, when we pull a key member of the ODOT team out of his cycle and expect him to show up at all these regional solutions meetings, pretty soon he can't do it. There also are the folks that are assigned out of the governor's office that are supposed to be managing these programs on the ground to make sure that we're not taking advantage of agencies that have superstars who are willing to come forward and do this kind of problem solving that, in my experience, is a little bit of a different breed of cat from the way government generally does it. I mean, it has been my experience that the way government, and I ran a state agency for 5 years, the way that they generally do it is, give me the problem, it's like setting rivets, we'll fix it. This is a different kind of problem solving that says, can I sit with my colleagues and reason out a solution that has durability and something that is the result of thinking collaboratively together rather than just going out and executing. But right now it's being absorbed inside agency budgets. It may get to a point where we'd have to come back and have a broader budget, and I would leave that to Greg Wolf and Governor Kitzhaber to sit here and make the case for why they needed more folks, because I know they are hunting around for them. But right now agencies absorb this work.
And the reason I bring that up, Senator, is as I was looking at this, I was imagining because sometimes these could be really big, you know, problems and big, take a lot of time,
lots
of energy,
meetings,
a lot of resources to do that. And, you know, so I was thinking, shouldn't Ways and Means be trying to figure out how this fits into the budgets? But it's pretty hard to tell what agency's going to have to put resources into a future project that doesn't exist. But it seems like it would also be something that, if there was enough ending reserves, that the emergency board could step in and say, we need a little more money for this Oregon Solutions project because the agency can't absorb all of it.
Exactly. And Mr. Chair, you've hit on two very important things. In order to make these regional solutions teams work, it's easy to identify the problem. Well, it's relatively easy. It's relatively easy to identify the solution. But absent some money for implementation, people push away from the table very quickly. And as these projects get more expensive, $40 million for three new schools, I think that the governor and his staff are going to have to be mindful of the temptation that we can't crank these out one right after another and just get checklists, check marks on a project completion list. But Representative Kenny Geiger and I have 5 years in Vernonia. And those were pretty tough years. I mean, you age in dog years doing these kinds of projects because there's always something. And we still haven't quite finished the pushing the ball over the finish line in Vernonia. So we have to be very mindful of two things. Institutionalizing regional solutions to a point that it doesn't have the flexibility and the nimbleness to do the kind of stuff that we want them to do. And that we project onto them the expectation that they can raise tons of money to do these big projects, and the money just isn't there. It's not available in the general fund. The notion is that you leverage. You start with a little money and you cobble that into charitable support, academic support, and generally that's worked. But this is ostensibly a new program, and it has gone from the very modest beginnings envisioned by Governor Kitzhaber to something much larger now with FTE, and we don't want to kill the golden goose by so institutionalizing it that it's lost precisely the flexibility that makes it desirable. This is going to be an iterative conversation. We will be back in future legislatures talking about funding, talking about personnel, and making sure that the deliverables really are there. Because when one of these projects goes well, it's one of the most exciting things that you can be involved with. Representative Kenny Geiger and I were on a number of conversations where things had either gone very, very well and you were over the moon happy, or the news came in that what you thought was going to happen wasn't going to happen and you were set back so far you had to pump in sunlight and air to that place. So they're exciting projects. When they work well, they're brilliant. And this will be an ongoing conversation as I think we develop new ways of using agencies to solve problems. But so I hope that answers the question of whether you have to have a bill to tell agencies what to do.
It does, but it also makes me my last question, I promise, is this is a resolution and not codifying, putting something into statute. And I'm guessing your answer to that is the flexibility you were just talking about, that we don't really have a legitimate program that we can define very well at this point.
That's
I mean, why a resolution instead of putting something in statute?
Mr. Chair, because this is the beginning of putting regional solutions in statute. They don't live anywhere right now. And this is the beginning of a policy articulation by the legislature that this is a good way to solve problems. We'll be back refining and tweaking and working on this a lot. So this really is a policy statement, and I have been quite casual in my conversation today about mixing the notion of a resolution and a bill. This is an articulation of legislative intent to try to continue to move this program forward.
Sam Kinney-Geyer, another comment? Question?
Well, this is partially a comment, but also I invite you to correct me if I'm wrong. Since you're involved in the Ways and Means and I'm not, there are a couple pieces with regional solutions. Obviously, the infrastructure for the staff is one of the Ways and Means requests that's before the legislature right now. And there's another piece that has to do with setting aside some money for projects, capital construction. I don't know where these are because I'm not following them very carefully, but so that if the community has really gotten together and involved different agencies and has identified that the state has some piece of that. We, as you know, last year had to work really hard to have the state be a piece of that larger $40 million. This piece itself I see as, but you've got people, for instance, in Department of Transportation working on issues. They're going to be working on issues, but when it's in a collaborative process, we need to redirect how we do transportation in Vernonia schools or in Umatilla with the aquifer project, you know, looking at the traded sector. So how does that tie into what do we want to do collaboratively as a region? So I think of it as, we have people in those departments doing jobs, and it makes it more focused and targeted. It doesn't mean necessarily more money. I think of it as very similar to the integrated pest management that just passed unanimously out of a Senate committee yesterday. We'll be coming to your floor. And it's getting state agencies to work more collaboratively. People in each of those departments are already doing integrated pest management, but how can they work more effectively? It doesn't mean more hours, but it means more targeted, more effective, more efficient. This is a government efficiency committee, so
Well, I certainly wished I could get him to work on a couple of bills I've been having trouble with.
Mr. Chair, one concluding comment that I would make just to underscore and to answer Representative Kenny Guy's question, but also to underscore what an iterative process this is. The governor's request for regional solutions in terms of infrastructure and appropriations to the 11 regions was $50 million. Mm-hmm. Out of the Ways and Means sub that I'm privileged to chair, they will be getting much less mm-hmm. than that. And it is a different philosophy of how we approach it. I would not be shy to say this if Greg Wolf were sitting here, and he may be sitting behind me, but it's a slightly different vision. There's the vision that says, give us all the money in the world and we'll report back the good stuff that we did. Mm-hmm. And then there's the vision of, here's a little bit of money, go tear up the track and come back and tell us what great stuff you did and there'll be more money later. The committee opted for door number two. Mm-hmm. And I think that we will come back with projects in practically every one of the districts of the representatives sitting here that have cobbled together these mosaics of funding, have identified big problems, have worked together, and will have deliverables for the next legislative session.
Thank you. Not seeing any other questions. I thank you very much for coming down again. And
I'll roll on out of here.
Welcome back. You can roll in anytime.
Thank you.
Except we only have a few meetings left. So.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So with that, I will close. Oh, somebody else wanted to testify on SCR4.
Chair Holby, members of the committee, my name is Ann Hannis, and I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. I also want to recognize the leadership of Senator Johnson and her support for the Oregon Solutions Program. We, too, are true believers of the Oregon Solutions and Regional Solutions. AOC Mike MacArthur, our executive director, participates as a convener. We've provided support and in many ways for the Regional Solutions process. We feel that we can often identify a problem and agree on that problem, but getting to the solution is much more difficult because these days often the solution rests in bringing together different agencies both on the state, local, federal level, as well as private individuals and business to really make it work. And what this process does is bring people together collaboratively, get them to work well together, and also look at what the resources are and how you can leverage that. So what we believe this bill does is sends a strong message from the legislature endorsing the process and encouraging state agencies to participate and set priorities to complement the efforts of regional solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Comments? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Seeing no one else wishing to comment on SCR4, we'll close the public hearing on SCR4. And I had told Representative Johnson that I wouldn't be moving it until, because he had to leave. So I think we'll probably wait till our next meeting to go ahead and move this bill, which, if you haven't noticed, we'll be next Tuesday. So we will carry over SCR4 till next Tuesday, or we'll just repost it on Tuesday. Yes, we're going to take care of you in just a moment. So I'm going to close the public hearing on SCR4. And Representative Lively, could we have a motion to suspend the rules to allow Representative Richardson to vote on Senate Bill 405.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move we suspend the rules to allow Representative Richardson to vote on Senate Bill 405A.
Representative Lively moves that we suspend the rules for the purpose of allowing Representative Richardson to vote on Senate Bill 405A. Is there any objection? Seeing none. Representative Richardson, how do you vote on Senate Bill 405A?
Vote aye.
Representative Richardson votes aye on Senate Bill 405A.
Representative Lively.
Mr. Chair, I move we suspend the rules to allow Representative Richardson to vote on Senate Bill 574A.
Representative Lively moves we suspend the rules for the purpose of allowing Representative Richardson to vote on Senate Bill 574A. Any objection? Seeing none, Representative Richardson, how would you vote on 574?
Vote aye.
Representative Richardson votes aye on Senate Bill 574A. With that committee, that concludes our work for today. And we will adjourn the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Efficiency.
Very efficient.